So today we're diving into a paper that asks a really fundamental question about neural networks. Can they be steered to any direction? Are they almost always surjective? This sounds huge.
It is. The core idea is if a network is surjective, it means that for any output you can imagine, there's some input that will generate it. And that has some pretty serious implications for safety, especially with models like LLMs and diffusion models.
Okay, so if it's not surjective, then there are outputs that are simply impossible for the network to produce. And if it is, then anything is possible, and safety becomes about making the bad inputs really hard to find?
Exactly. That's the crux of it. The authors had to come up with a way to formalize this because proving it for all possible parameter settings is impossible, and proving it for just some is, well, not very helpful.
Right, because you could just cherry pick a specific configuration where it happens to be true. So what did they do?
They asked, is surjectivity almost always true? Does the set of non-surjective parameter configurations have a zero Lebesgue measure? Basically, is it so vanishingly unlikely to land on a non-surjective model through random initialization that we can essentially ignore it?
Okay, that makes sense. So instead of looking for a guarantee that it's always surjective, they're looking for a probabilistic guarantee that it's overwhelmingly likely to be surjective. And how did they approach this?
This is where it gets interesting. They used differential topology, treating the networks as smooth maps and using high-powered math to analyze their input-output properties, rather than relying on statistical analysis.
Differential topology. Wow, that's a whole different ballgame. So what kind of results did they get with this approach?
They came up with two main proofs for modern architectural blocks. The first one is about pre-layered normalization, which, as you know, is a key component in almost every modern transformer.
Yeah, I've seen that everywhere.
They proved that this component, defined as g of x equals f of ln x plus x, is always surjective for any continuous function f. It's a really elegant proof using Brouwer's fixed point theorem.
Brouwer's fixed point theorem. I vaguely remember that from my math classes. Can you break it down a bit?
Sure. The idea is to show that the equation g of x equals y has a solution for any target y. They reformulate the problem as finding an input x star such that x star equals y minus f of ln x star. This becomes a fixed point problem for a new function f of x equals y minus f of ln x star.
Okay, I think I'm following. So you're trying to find a point that doesn't change when you apply the function f to it.
Exactly. And the key insight here is that layer norm's output is bounded. Because f is continuous, f of ln of x is also bounded. This means that f of x is just the target y plus a bounded wobble.
A bounded wobble. I like that analogy.
Right? So for any y, you can find a ball in the input space large enough that this function f maps the ball back into itself. And Brouwer's theorem guarantees that such a function must have a fixed point within that ball. That fixed point is the x star we're looking for.
So the residual connection, that plus x part, is crucial here.
Absolutely. The paper identifies it as the structural linchpin of this unavoidable surjectivity. Without it, the whole proof falls apart.
Wow, that's pretty profound. What about other architectures that don't have that simple plus x structure?
That's where their second method comes in, using components like MLPs with leaky ReLU and linear attention. For these, they use a more advanced tool, degree theory.
Degree theory sounds intense.
It is, but the core idea is homotopy, or continuous deformation. The method shows that a complex network, like a leaky ReLU MLP, can be continuously deformed into a simple function, like an identity map, whose surjectivity is obvious.
So you're basically morphing the complex network into something simple that you already know is surjective.
Precisely. And a topological invariant called the Brouwer degree, which conceptually counts the number of pre-images for a point, is shown to be non-zero for the simple function.
Okay, so this Brouwer degree is like a fingerprint that tells you something about the surjectivity of the function.
Exactly. And because this degree cannot change during a continuous deformation, as long as solutions don't escape to infinity, the complex network must have the same non-zero degree. A non-zero degree implies that a pre-image must exist for any output.
Solutions don't escape to infinity. That sounds like a very technical condition.
It is. The paper's technical work here is proving that this containment holds and that solutions do not escape to infinity during the deformation. This method successfully proves surjectivity for linear attention by induction.
Okay, so they've got these powerful tools to prove surjectivity in a lot of modern architectures. But are there cases where they don't find surjectivity?
Yes, and that's crucial. The analysis is sharp enough to identify non-surjective components. Standard ReLU MLPs are not surjective because their range is limited to the positive orthant. Standard softmax-based attention is also not surjective because the normalization prevents arbitrarily large outputs in certain directions.
So the choice of activation function and normalization can actually prevent surjectivity. That's a really important observation.
It is. The core takeaway is that the vulnerability of modern generative models isn't just a bug in the training data or optimizer. It's a fundamental, provable mathematical property of the architectures we've chosen.
Wow, that's a pretty sobering thought. So, what does this mean for the future of AI safety?
It means we need to shift our focus. Instead of just trying to patch up vulnerabilities after the fact, we need to design architectures that are inherently safer, or at least understand the trade-offs we're making when we choose certain architectural components. Maybe we need to think about ways to constrain the output space of these models, or develop new training methods that explicitly encourage safer behavior.
This is fascinating and a little scary. It sounds like we've just scratched the surface of this topic, but it's definitely giving me a lot to think about. Thanks for breaking it down for me.
My pleasure. It's a complex area, but incredibly important.